All right, we've got a great episode of Side Retired today for our loyal listeners. We've got a repeat guest on the podcast today. So, Nico, let's hit the intro music and we'll get right into this. Hello and welcome to this edition of Side Retired. It is Dylan Campione and Nico Fernandez as always. And Nico, we've got a great guest joining us on today's episode, but before we reintroduce him to our listeners, how you doing?
Doing well, bro. It's always cool to talk to coaches and see how college baseball works from their point of view. We have a lot of college baseball players on, but to hear like the coach's point of view is always like a nice new perspective.
Absolutely. Today we're joined again once by Brian Torresani. He is now with Delaware Baseball. Coach, obviously a lot of updates in your career since you were last on with us a year ago, but how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to chatting today.
Absolutely. So for people who might not remember, Coach Torresani was at Arcadia University last year when we spoke to him at a D3 program as their head coach and has since moved on to become the recruiting coordinator here at Delaware Baseball. And Coach, just if you want to give our audience a brief overview of how has that process been like, obviously starting in a new program, and you guys have been doing pretty well this year.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, but it's been a ton of fun and a good next stop, I guess, on the journey here. So, the situation for me at Delaware fit in a lot of ways, which was awesome. I didn't have to move my family, number one. So I have two young kids, so they can stay in their schools. My wife teaches in the area, so it fit our life, which I think is obviously the most important thing. You got to take care of the people at home, number one. But the University of Delaware is also just an awesome place. Like it's I think a destination school for a lot of students in this part of the country and student athletes in particular that, want a chance to compete at the highest level of amateur baseball and play in a really good conference and have a good situation. So, and I also knew Coach Mamula from over the years as well. So that was kind of what kickstarted, I think, our talks and the relationship that we had. And we kind of rekindled that relationship 2 years ago. We had a pitcher at Arcadia named Owen Margolis, who's now on our staff at Delaware, that grad transferred to, from Arcadia to Delaware with COVID years and things like that. And so Mams and I kind of got reconnected that way, and things have a funny way of working out. But long story short, I miss Arcadia. It was a great place. They're doing really well again this year. My guys there, it's tough when it's always the people, right? Like wherever you are in life, that you're most affected by. So I miss those guys tremendously. I'm glad they're having a successful season. But on the whole, for me, this has been a positive transition.
Of course. And that's amazing. So like, what has that transition been like where you're going from a D3, maybe a smaller school, to now being at a D1? What are like the differences that people don't know that they see from a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of drinking out of the fire hose in the beginning. That's for sure. You're learning, for me, like you're learning a whole new place. I've pretty much only been at smaller private, schools, 2,000-3,000 students. Now I'm at a 22,000 student state institution. It's a big campus. It's a huge athletic department. So just learning the infrastructure at the university, I think, was a big undertaking. Not that I know everything now, but certainly much more comfortable than I was in July, when I first got there. Certainly transitioning from being a head coach to an assistant took a little bit of time too. I certainly would not have done this if I didn't know and trust Coach Mams, and as somebody that we share very similar values, think about the game in a lot of the same way, and somebody that, I really could see myself working for, because you give up a lot of control when you're not the head coach anymore and you're an assistant, and that was a tricky transition for me at first, but it's also been a really positive thing for me, I think, especially going forward in my career, to kind of have this perspective again. I haven't been in this seat for 12 or 13 seasons, meaning being an assistant. And I think it's been a positive for me to kind of take a step back and be able to watch somebody else a little bit, learn from somebody else, and hopefully take some of those things with me. So, and then the other side of it is the level of play. The baseball it's a high level of play, and to be able to watch that on a daily basis has really been a blessing for me. I think that's been a lot of fun, and kind of get to see different schools, different teams across the country. And man, I'm just shocked at how many good baseball players are out there, in college baseball right now. So that part's been really cool.
No, absolutely. I think the fun part about it is that it's not that Delaware is better than Arcadia or anything like that, but it's a completely different experience in that there's a lot of really great competition in Arcadia, and obviously head coaching is one experience. But then when you go to Delaware, it is, all right, we're on the D1 program, that now there might be more facilities, there might be more availabilities, and now you've got a better support system and more different people around. But from your general sense, what has been that big difference of maybe it's the day-to-day operations, or it's now we've got 10 batting cages instead of one, or now there's a lot of different other facility available that's not there at the D3 level, that, again, not dissing D3, but definitely now you can see that difference at D1.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, for us at Arcadia, I always tried to run our program as much like a Division I program as we possibly could. And we were, I was su super fortunate. The reason that you end up, having opportunities like this is because you're successful, right? And you're not successful without the help of a lot of people and circumstances, and at Arcadia, we had really good facilities. We played at Temple University's old field, prior to them dropping the program. So we basically had a Division I facility, locker rooms, indoor cages, like a lot of what we have at Delaware, we did have at Arcadia. So that was that change has not been as much of a shock for me as some other things. I think the biggest difference is that at the Division III level, just because to your point, Dylan, about resources, staffing, funding, things like that, like the coaching staff takes on a lot of roles, right? Like we're doing the laundry, we're doing the academic advising, we're planning the meals for the road trips, you're kind of doing everything. You're wearing every hat, right? When I walk into a staff meeting at Delaware, there's, I don't know, 150, 200 people there, and there's somebody for a lot of those things to provide that support, so that you can focus on the players, right? And getting them better on the field. And in my role, focus on recruiting and bringing in the top talent that we can get. So I think that's been the biggest change is, okay, we have Bridget. She takes care of the academics. I don't have to worry as much about that anymore. We have Kendall. She takes care of a lot of the operation side of things for us. I don't have to worry about, what are we having for lunch on game day or those sort of things, where it takes a lot of time away from the baseball side. I think that's the part people probably don't realize is like all the behind the scenes stuff that goes on. And I know you're going through it helping out Edwin right now at Georgetown. So that's you're seeing it firsthand, but that's been the biggest change for sure. And not only, and then just the physicality of the players and kind of the speed of the game. That's obviously different too. But no, there's a lot of really good players at D3, and you're seeing a lot of those guys that have grad transferred or just transferred up to Division I having success. And so baseball's still baseball in a lot of cases.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I remember when I talked with my brother my senior year when he graduated and went to college. I'm like, yo, what's the difference between high school and college? He's like, dude, I have everything. Like I go and he's like, first day I went to, I had like a trainer, I had a strength coach, I had an academic advisor literally picking my classes for me, so I knew exactly what I was going to take for fall and spring. So it's like just that difference between just the amount of resources that you could have is just a massive difference. And like you said, I think the speed of the game, I think that people don't understand the game, how the game speeds up when you get from level to level. Can you like elaborate a bit on this? Because I think a lot of people don't really get like how fast the game could get. Because again, to a lot of people who don't care about baseball seems like a slow sport.
Definitely. Yeah, I think the best way I heard it, and I can't remember who said this at some point, but when you're in coaching and you hear a lot of coaches speak or just have conversations, is like the game basically speeds up by 3 feet every level that you climb up the ladder, right? So like if as a JV high school player, you go from JV to varsity, you're a shortstop. By the time you field the ball at the varsity level, that guy's 3 feet further down the line than he was at JV, right? By the time you get to college, if you're at Division III, that guy's going to be 3 feet further down the line, and so on and so forth. And it's not an exact science, of course, but like that's just kind of the like a little bit of an analogy of kind of what that looks like. There's definitely a funnel of players, and generally speaking, the better athletes are going to end up at the higher levels, right? So the game, guys are going to throw harder, guys are going to run faster, guys are going to be able to hit the ball harder, the further up the ladder you go there. And so I think the adjustment of like your eyes to the game has been another interesting thing. For me, with like pitching velocity, for example, getting used to seeing guys primarily low to mid 80s, sometimes upper 80s, once in a while touching 90, where that would look, you're like, wow, that's kind of eye-opening, to now every day seeing upper 80s, low 90s. and even sometimes mid-90s that you look at and you're like, it just kind of seems normal now, you know, and the game kind of slows down for you even as a coach the more you get a chance to see it, you know. And I think that's why you see freshmen or even some junior college transfers kind of struggle at first at Division I baseball, is like they need their eyes to adjust to the speed of the game. We're seeing it with our few guys in our own program now that we're kind of just over that midway point of the season. They're starting to kind of make that adjustment, and guys that struggled earlier are starting to have some success because just kind of subconsciously the game's starting to slow down for them. So kind of a cool thing to watch if on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. And sort of on that similar line is now that you have the role of recruiting coordinator, part of your job is probably to go out there and find the next wave of Delaware baseball players, whether it is, as you're mentioning, the grad transfers or high schoolers or anything like that. So how much has that aspect of the game changed? Because I assume the recruiting on the D3 level is a lot different, but has some similarities to the D1 level.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the reason that I'm in this position is because of, you know, because of how hard we worked at Arcadia to find the best players we possibly could. You know, I was told a long time ago, and I think it's a Lou Holtz quote that, you know, it's not about the X's and the O's, it's about the Jimmies and the Joes. You know, you can be the best coach in the world, but if you don't have the talent, it doesn't really matter, right? So, working hard to kind of mine the best players you can to whatever program you're at, that I think that's what's going to lead to the most success. And it takes the most work, right? Like we're off today. All four of our coaches will be out at high school games in the area watching guys play. Like you got to kind of canvas and watch and continue to watch to find guys. It's been good for me to see, again, to see the level on a daily basis. When I first got to Delaware in July, having not seen our own team practice yet or play a game, obviously, or anything like that. You know, I did need that perspective of, okay, what does this look like? What does a shortstop at Delaware look like? What does a good pitcher in the CAA look like? Now I'm starting to see those things. And when I can go out recruiting, you know, I kind of have a better eye for, you know, what we're looking for, what it takes to win at this level. So that part's been a lot different. You know, a lot of D3s too, you're mass recruiting a lot, meaning you're trying to bring in a lot of kids. It's sort of an enrollment, you know, recruiting at Division III can be sort of an enrollment enhancer for the university. Where at Division I, like you're not, your roster is your roster. You can have 40 max. We have 36 right now. So we're looking for very specific players to fill roles to come in and impact the program immediately. So that part's been fun. Like I can go watch a guy now pitch two, three, or four times before we make a decision on a guy. Where in the past, it's like you see one thing you like in somebody and you're gonna probably recruit them. So that's probably the biggest difference. That's not a knock, but that's just the reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And adding on to that, especially now with the transfer portal, every team could be good and just be elite. I remember a couple years ago in the CAA, Campbell was phenomenal. They had like Zach Neto, they had a couple arms, and they were like, again, top 15 in the country. So I think the cool thing about what the transfer portal's done, it's really opened everything up. That you're able to, like you said, not only are you facing people that are a lot faster at like the D1 level, but you're facing people who now, because of the transfer portal, it doesn't matter if you're maybe a smaller school in the D1 level, you're gonna be facing a guy on Friday who looks like he's gonna be a top 3 round draft pick. And it's because that there's so much movement and you're able to get the elite of the elite anywhere. And I love that because, again, I think people for a long time that you go and you think of, when you think of college baseball, you think of Vanderbilt and that's about it. And I think what I love now is that there's so many teams and there's so many schools where you're just seeing extremely high levels of talent. And I think that's amazing for college baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been interesting to see the effect that the transfer portals had on the game. I think there's probably more parity in college baseball now than there's ever been. And I think when all this first started, a lot of folks, and me included, assumed that, you know, the rich would get richer, right? The big time SEC programs, ACC programs would get all of the transfers and you know, kind of separate themselves from the rest of the pack. And not that some of those programs are certainly elite and win on a yearly basis at a really high level, but you know, to your point, like you're seeing mid-majors and schools be able to attract some talent from other places. And it seems like anybody can beat anybody on any given day, especially on a Tuesday right now in college baseball. So you know, it's been good. I think there's certainly, it's like anything else in life, right? The transfer portal has negatives, it has positives. And if you're going to be a good college baseball program in this day and age, you have to embrace it and use it to the best way that you think benefits your own program, you know? Some programs are going to rely heavily on it. Some programs are going to rely on it to fill some needs with a couple of guys. That's probably more of the box we fit in at Delaware. But to each their own, and you got to use it to your advantage.
Absolutely. I think there's one question I did want to ask that switching gears a little bit, but
Sure.
it was almost a week or so after you came on the podcast with us afterwards. There was a story about Arcadia that got a lot of attention, and that was that you guys participated in the game heard around the world, and that was 24 hours long, 48 runs scored, went overnight, stopped, continued the next morning. So I assume you haven't had any experiences like that at Delaware so far, but just to tell our audience who might have seen that story, judging by Nico's face, he saw the story, forgot that this is the coach that was actually involved with that story. Tell us about what happened that day.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny because this past Sunday we played a game where we hit 10 home runs, and the wind was howling out, and it was the closest thing that I can remember to that game. So that was last year on our Florida trip, to the Snowbird Classic in Port Charlotte. We were playing Denison University, and Mike Deegan's the head coach there, who's a fantastic guy, awesome baseball man. And his team is so good year in and year out. Well, we both show up to the field, and we knew storms were rolling in, and the winds were blowing out, gusting up to about 40 miles an hour from home plate to center field. So essentially any ball that was hit up in the air had a chance to leave the yard. Both of our teams were, we were in our fourth or fifth game of the week, on spring break. You're deep into, essentially you're deep into your pitching staff. Nobody's got their guys on the mound that are going to go out and punch out 10 and 7 innings and get you some easy innings, things like that. So you're giving up a lot of contact. Both teams had really good offensive lineups. It was a recipe for exactly what happened, right? Ton of walks. It was a tough day to pitch. It was a tough day to do anything because it was so windy. And in Florida, the down there, the fields are hard. The sky is high. So like ground balls are getting through. Pop-ups are tough to catch. It was impossible to get an out unless somebody struck out or hit like a weak ground ball at somebody. It was a really tough day. But anyway, in the top, I believe it was the top of the eighth inning, the storms rolled in, and Denison had the bases loaded, two outs. I believe we were up. We were tied at that point in the game. It was like, I don't know, 25-25 or something like that. There was upwards of 15 or 16 homers hitting the game to that point. And it got called. Halted till the next day. Had we been at home, like the game would have just ended in a tie probably, but since we were in Florida, both teams for the week, we were able to pick it up the next day, once the rain stopped and the field was ready to be played on. Long story short, the next day we get there, the wind's blowing straight in, so that kind of changed the game. They scored a couple in the top of the ninth. We ended up getting out of that jam in the eighth. They scored a couple in the top of the ninth, and we hit a line drive to left center with the bases loaded with the winning run at first, that their center fielder made a jumping catch on that. If he didn't catch it, we would have walked it off. So we ended up losing the game, but it did. And the other ironic part that people don't know is we were staying in the same hotel. Both teams were in the same hotel. So we get back, back to the hotel that night, and like both teams are in the lobby. The coaches are in the lobby, just kind of like looking exhausted and like talking about the game, and it's blowing up on social media, and my phone's blowing up with people. So it was a rare instance. Coach Deeks and I both said like we would have liked to have played again on a normal day, and kind of you couldn't tell which team was better because of the conditions. But certainly a fun one to be a part of. So sorry for rambling, but that was a cool story.
No, you're good. I'm from Florida, so you just perfectly explained every single field I played on
Yeah.
in Florida. It's the weather. We had a running joke that I've told Dylan. Whenever we had practice, if it was ever 100% rain, I'd be like, yeah, this is how Florida works. It's definitely not raining. And if it ever said it wasn't going to rain, it would just decide to pour for the whole day. So you were just talking about how the weather, how the wind was different, how there was a storm, how the fields were hard. It's literally it's Florida in a nutshell for me.
Oh yeah. I mean the rain rolled in that day, and it poured, like it washed the field out in about 30
Yeah.
seconds. So you get that too.
For 30, yeah, because that's how it works. It goes and it'll rain for like 10 minutes, and then it'll just stop. It'll be like a hurricane for those 10 minutes.
It was wild.
Yeah,
Oh,
but
I know.
one of the things I wanted to ask you is that, again, For us, we're in college. I don't think me and Dylan are looking to play baseball in the future. But for kids that are listening that, are in high school and they want to know, like, okay, what steps could I take to, get to that next level? Have you just had any advice that you can give to them again? Because you're able to see it from like a bird's eye view and know what people are looking for. Any advice that you can give to them would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the number one piece of advice I can give guys is to fall in love with the weight room. Again, I don't, Nico, how much college baseball you're around up close and personal, but I know Dylan gets to see it a lot on a daily basis, that the physicality of the players is really the big difference, right, between a high school kid and a college guy. And one, I know we talked about recruiting a few minutes ago. One of the things that another thing that's been different for me is, like, you're looking for more of a ready-made product at the college level, where when I, in the past in my career, like, I could try to use the crystal ball a little more and say, okay, like, this guy's got some good skills. He's a good player. If he puts on 10 pounds, he's going to be really good, and we could maybe take a shot on that, In this situation, I need that. We need to sign that guy that is already has that 10 pounds of muscle on him and is ready to go. So I think the physicality piece first and foremost, and it's a bit of a controllable for kids, right? If they can learn how to eat right and get in the weight room and get really strong, even through high school, that's a big separator for guys. That would be probably the number one piece of advice that I would give them. Past that, like, once they get to a recruitable age, whether it's junior or senior year, like, once their skills start to attract some college attention, I think it's always good to get a feel from a coach, a high school coach, a travel coach, somebody that has a good understanding of the landscape of college baseball, that can give them an honest evaluation of where they think they fit into to the levels of college baseball. And then that can help them kind of narrow their search on schools they should look at and kind of where they should be looking. So I think those two things are super important for guys. But everybody's looking for the best player. So you have to find a way to stand out when you're out there on the field.
Yeah, I think that last piece of advice that you gave was amazing because I think a lot of like high school players, they fall in love with just the term D1 and they think that like that's the only way that baseball could be played. And I think that having a guy who's honest with you and you're like, yeah, if you want to continue baseball, like there's a lot of other routes that have a lot of elite levels of baseball. Like I know from down south, like Nova Southeastern is a school like a Division II program, and I could name off the top of my head three other Florida schools that are D1 technically that I know Nova would be. And you can say that about like a lot of other schools, that
Sure.
University of Tampa, like so just like again, like you said, like the level, knowing that there's other levels of baseball is I think a very important thing. And I'm very happy you said that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was cool last year. Kind of a proud moment for me. We were playing a midweek game against Elizabethtown College, which is where I went, and their head coach is it was a teammate of mine in college, and it's doing a really good job, Adam Shibley. But his center fielder, Ben Watson, is a grad transfer at Virginia Tech and starting for them and one of their leading hitters. He was playing center field that day. And our shortstop, Alex Madera, is the starting second baseman at North Carolina right now, and was a, and they were both playing in the same Tuesday D3 midweek game, committed to ACC schools, for the following year. So it was like, man, college baseball has really kind of changed here since the pandemic. But to your point, like, there's just elite players at every level for sure.
No, absolutely. It's fun to see, especially here. I think it's our starting left fielder, center fielder, and DH all were at D3 programs last year. They're coming in and they're absolutely raking here at the D1 level. So, a
For
lot of
sure.
guys that just see ball, hit ball. And yeah, the miles per hour might be a little bit different or the speed's a little different, but it's still baseball. And there's guys going to be raking all across the country that if you just
Absolutely.
find them, they're out there somewhere for you. But that's, I guess, your job as the recruiting coordinator is to find them somewhere in the
That's
country.
right.
But we really appreciate you carving out some time and talking with us again today, Coach. It's always a blast. Wishing all the best of luck. I know Georgetown isn't playing Delaware anymore this year, so I can say, hope you win all your games for the rest of
Thank
the
you
season.
guys as well.
Thanks so much, but it's always a blast catching up, Coach.
Thanks, Dylan. Thanks, Nico. Of
Awesome.
course.
Absolutely. So for Dylan, Nico, and Coach Torresani, until the next time, the side is retired.